30 seconds and counting. 20 seconds and counting.
Check, check, check. Okay, here we go. Hello, listeners, and welcome to Collective Action in Isolation.
Liftoff! We have a liftoff!
Hello, I'm your host, Anders Prater, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about narratives. A narrative is a story that we tell as we go about our lives, the story of what's happening. Everyone has an internal narrative, and in your internal narrative, you are the main character. Narratives are how people comprehend what's happening and how we rationalize events. The cool thing about narratives is that they shape how we understand what's happening, and there are countless possibilities for different narratives, which means we can understand the same situation many different ways. Okay, let's start with a simple example so you can understand what an internal narrative is and how two people can see the same situation very differently. So, let's say you go to the grocery store, and as you're checking out and going to your car, you see a man leave his cart right next to his car instead of bringing it to the cart kiosk. You tell him politely that he should put his cart away because he has a social responsibility to do so, but perhaps he gets angry and yells at you, tells you to leave him alone because he can do what he wants. Then he drives off and you put his cart into the cart kiosk. When you each arrive at home, the story you tell to the people you live with may go very differently. Because in your internal narrative, you were the good guy, politely asking someone to fulfill their social responsibility, while in his internal narrative, he is also the good guy. Because in his view of the situation, he was accosted at the supermarket and told what to do by someone. So even though only one thing happened, you each have your very own unique rationalization, which you tell through your personal narrative. Okay, listeners, now that we have the basic idea of a narrative down, let's move away from personal narratives for a little bit and talk about historical narratives. Historical narratives are the way that we retell history. They're very similar to personal narratives because they are subjective and they are framed by the person who is telling them. For instance, the story of the atomic bombs being dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki would be told very differently by an American citizen compared to a Japanese citizen. The event is objective. The US military dropped two atomic bombs on Japanese cities. That is a fact, but the way that it is framed depends on the person telling the story. It could be seen as a war crime, or it could be seen as a display of power and a successful military tactic. The historical narrative that I'm going to talk about today to help us understand the way we discuss COVID-19 and how we will discuss COVID-19 in the future is the Spanish flu. Northland College professor Barrett Goff gave an online lecture recently about the mistruths surrounding the Spanish flu, and the most notable one is the name itself. The Spanish flu did not originate in Spain, but because of its name, it is associated with the country, which also brings blame and persecution of Spanish people, all because of a misinterpretation. Goff explains that this misinterpretation arose out of the First World War, because all the countries on both sides of the war had instructed their news providers to only report on the war and to frame things positively in order to create support. This meant that newspapers in those countries were downplaying problems and bad news. But Spain was not involved in World War I, which meant they had no obligation to suppress bad news, so they were running headlines about the influenza pandemic well before any other major countries were. Because it was making headlines in Spain, it was believed that the flu actually originated in Spain, even though scientists have concluded that it is most likely to have come from France or the United States. This misnaming creates a narrative that leads people to believe that the flu originated in Spain, which places false blame. We see this exact same blame placed on people from China when COVID-19 is referenced as the Chinese virus, even though we know that people from China are no more likely to contract the virus than anyone else. Just by calling it the Chinese virus, it is insinuated that this virus is somehow the fault of people from China. When people perpetuate the narrative that this virus is somehow the fault of Chinese people, it justifies racism and persecution. The next historical narrative I'm going to look at is the one surrounding government action. By looking at what certain cities did and how the people reacted, we can better understand both how to react to the pandemic and how to react to our governments. For instance, there is two opposing narratives circulating right now, one being that we are overreacting, and the other being we need to do more in order to stop this pandemic. When looking at the influenza outbreak of 1918 and 1919, Barrett Goff uses the examples of St. Louis and Philadelphia, two cities that took very different approaches to the arrival of influenza. St. Louis instituted an almost immediate lockdown and shut down their public schools, whereas Philadelphia's mayor did not want to overreact to a few cases of the flu, so they actually held a coming home parade for a platoon of World War I soldiers who were arriving back in the town. Though at the time it had appeared that St. Louis was overreacting, when looking back we see that they effectively flattened their curve, which allowed hospitals to prepare and never overstressed their healthcare system. Whereas Philadelphia, who did not want to be perceived as overreacting, ended up maxing out the capacity of all hospitals within the city only 72 hours after the parade. Now, when we look at these historical statistics, we can see what was perceived as overreaction was actually the appropriate amount of action. And we see that cities like Philadelphia, who did not want to make the cure worse than the disease, actually did not take enough action to protect their citizens. If we use this understanding to shift the narratives that we use today, instead of talking about strict lockdowns as overreactions, but instead as appropriate action, it becomes easier to accept our current realities even when they are not convenient, because they are in the interest of public health. All right, listeners, let's return to this idea of personal narratives. The first one that I'd like to dive into is the narrative surrounding social distancing. The entire purpose of this podcast is to change the narrative surrounding social distance and self-quarantining. There is a very popular narrative that many people are choosing to subscribe to, which tells the story of social distancing and closing non-essential businesses as an infringement on our constitutional rights. Now, this is a legitimate way to perceive the current situation in our country, but I like to present an alternative narrative. What if instead we told the story of social distancing and closing non-essential businesses as one of patriotism? We could tell it as the story of going to extreme lengths to protect our own people. If we tell the story of social distancing like a heroic protection of our neighbors and our family members, instead of a story of governmental oppression, then we would be subscribing to the same patriotic ideals that are loving our country and doing whatever it takes to protect our rights and our common man, while also doing what is right in the midst of this pandemic to protect our most vulnerable populations. Now, to be even more specific, I'd like to talk about masks. Now, wearing a mask is generally considered a part of these social distancing and general public safety measures, but Canadian celebrity Dan Levy recently shared something on Twitter which directly related to the thing that I wanted to talk about in this podcast today, so I figured I would share it with you. Levy says that instead of looking at wearing a mask as something that you are forced to do and an infringement of your freedom, but instead as the simplest act of kindness that you can make each day. By just wearing a mask, you're protecting all those that you end up interacting with. As you can see, his idea is one of a simple narrative shift. And finally, listeners, I'd like to leave you with the idea that I'm hoping to impart on everyone by producing this podcast. The idea that we can shift the narrative surrounding collective action. It does not need to be something where we are all gathered together in the same place, or even doing something at the same time. But as long as we as people are working towards a common goal, then we are acting collectively. I hope that we can feel more together through this knowledge, even when we are separated. Today's episode was written and produced by Anderson Prater.